I was born in 1979. Yeah. I know, old, right? But when I was born, I grew up in a house. My mother was really young. My mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother. I'm the only guy in this house with these women. And my great-grandmother is the one who babysat me when I was small. And her name was Nellie Thomas. She was born in 1910. And she was really dark, rich, dark complexion, tough, hard as nails on the outside due to her childhood. Her mother died when she was young, and she had to drop out of school in eighth grade, and she cleaned white people's homes. And she was really hard because of her experiences. She was mistreated really bad, especially because she was dark-skinned. So her hardness carried over to her children, her grandchildren, her great-grands. Like, you know, white people cannot be trusted. You know, they're mean, they're bad people, they're nothing but trouble. And in 1985, I was about 5 years old, and she would keep me, and she would have people that come over the house all the time. Like, they were, she was the sweetest person on the inside because she had tons of friends, and these were people who would come over the house and visit her throughout the day. And us, the children, we were to be seen and not heard, but we still heard things. And I heard a lot of adult conversations, and sometimes they were about race and about, you know, what she experienced growing up and how black men, you know, the black men in the family weren't supposed to date white women. It's nothing but trouble and all of these things. And even though in 85 and 86, around that time, I didn't understand what they were talking about because I've never met a white person before at that time. But some of my heroes were white men. T.J. Hooker, Bo and Luke, you know, and most of all, Michael Knight, who I just knew I was going to be when I grew up. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be Michael Knight. And so I just didn't understand. I was like, these are all great people, you know? But that seed was still planted in the back of my head, even though I didn't know what they were talking about. And we lived in a little house on the Alameda and Argonne Drive up on the hill. My grandmother called it the hill. And the little Northwood Neighborhood Association. And she even showed me in her deed, you know, there was just a line drawn through it, you know, no colors allowed kind of thing. You know, so these things were kind of planted in my head. So fast forward a few years, my family, we go to a beach, we take a trip to Cadora Beach in Pennsylvania. And it's a predominantly white beach, you know, and me being all imaginative, I just kind of run off and do my own thing, the family is over there, and I just leave them, I run off, and I find this little playground, and I see a little white girl on the swing, so I go sit next to her, and we're on the swings, and I mean, we were going high up in air, and our giggles are just filling the sky, and we're having a good old time, seeing who can go the highest, and then out of the blue, her mother just comes, I mean, stomping through the sand, like puffs of sand just coming up through her sandals, like dust balls, you know, around. And I'm just looking at her like, oh my God, what's about to happen? And she snatches her daughter off the swing. And she said, I thought I told you I didn't want you playing with them niggers. And they leave. And I stop kicking. My swing slows to a stop. And I'm just kind of sitting there. And I'm not angry. I don't know what to feel. I didn't feel anything, I guess. I don't know. A whole bunch of things just going on in my head. So I'm just sitting there in silence to myself. And I never told my family about it. But a few years, again, passed by, and it's like after that incident, Pandora's box opened. You know, it was like a domino effect. I'm experiencing all types of racial issues and conflicts. You know, I went to Roland Park Middle School, great school, you know, and some of the people in that area showed that, you know, they didn't like me being there. You know, so all of these things were happening, run-ins with cops, and I just... It was like my eyes were open after this one incident. And, you know, I realized then that how segregated Baltimore was. You know, it was like white block, black block, white block, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, I kind of realized that, you know, I think I started to think, you know, like my great-grandmother was right. Like I should probably listen to what she was saying. All those things were kind of coming back to me. And so I got to high school, went to Mergenthaler. And I had a teacher named Ms. Russo who taught American government. And by this time, I'm like super black power, like American government, F the government, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't care about nothing, the cops, whatever, whatever, you know? But this woman was so sweet, and I loved her. Even to this day, if I saw her, you know, like, she was one of my greatest influences. But at the time, I'm in the ninth grade, and I'm thinking, like, okay, after everything I experienced, how can she be this sweet? You know, it's gotta be something. You know, this has to be some type of racist thing underneath that she is not showing me. So I decided to test her one day. And I don't know what made me think, you know, that she would divulge, even if she was a racist, like she would, if I tested her, she would just come out and be like, you know, tell her this story about her being, you know, this great plan she has to destroy the black race through, you know, her kind heart and Rice Krispie treats, you know. But she was just the sweetest person, and I loved her, and I still felt guarded. Like, I'm like, okay, well, I can't completely trust her. So after school one day, I stayed after like I usually would and helped out. We had a little club we put together called the Hope Club, helping other people excel. We would go to places like the Kennedy Krieger Institute and help our kids and do things like that. And I stayed after one day, and the rest of the kids left. And I'm like, okay, this is the perfect moment. Like, I'm going to test her to see if she's really a racist, right? So I was cleaning the boards, and somehow we started talking about culture and things like that. And I made a racial joke against Asian Americans. And I was like, okay, if she laughs with me, if she laughs, she's a racist, you know. Or if she comments, you know, if she sides with me on this, like, you know, that means she's a racist and I can't trust her, you know. So I decide to do this, and I make this comment, and everything stops. Her face just is red as a beet, and she's like, David, don't you ever in your life say anything like that again. And I lost my breath, and I'm like, you know, and she's like, they're Asian Americans, you know. And I just didn't know what to say. I was just dumbfounded. I felt so stupid for even saying it, for trying to test her. And I was like, man, she's really the person that she portrays herself to be. And I just couldn't believe it. You know, my whole logic was just thrown out of the window, you know. And it was at that moment that I just started to think, like, you know, it takes a little bit more work to give everyone their own file in your brain, you know, instead of just putting these huge office labels on people, you know. And you know, I had to learn to accept her, you know, as a you know, just accept the fact that people are individuals, and we need to give folks that chance, you know, to be who they are, you know. And it was since that moment, it really opened me up, and, you know, I got to meet a lot of friends, you know, from different places who are my best friends to this day because of that experience. So thank you, Ms. Russo.